I realize I'm dating myself when I say this, but in the handful of times that I've been old enough to vote, I have never been asked, leaving the voting site, any of those questions that we hear so much about, the exit polls. Now, I imagine they must ask someone somewhere about those things. I know when you're an absentee voter, as I was a couple times in Rome, it would have been hard for him to track me down way over there to ask me the questions, but I'd like to do a sort of exit poll. It doesn't have to do with the election, in fact, but because so many people have been saying so much about so many things considering the election, I think the readings today bring to light another sort of exit, another sort of experience that is universal for each of us here today. Perhaps you didn't sleep as well as you wish you had last night, and perhaps there were different ways to explain it. Maybe you ate the wrong food before bed. Maybe you drank some coffee, as I did, but I was tired enough, so I just went right to bed. Maybe there were things that would explain why it was a less restless night of sleep than you would have wished it was. I know that's an experience that is difficult for many, not sleeping as well as we wish we could. But I want to ask a question, and I want to ask for a show of hands, and I want to ask for an honest show of hands. This isn't to shame anyone here today, but it's to ask a very important question of each of us. And if you're a child and you're listening, I want to hear your answer too, in the form of a hand raised. Who said their bed night prayers last night? Who said their prayers before bed, before going to sleep last night? If you didn't, we're not gonna single you out. Let me see them. Okay, can we see who did not say their bedtime? I should have raised my hand the first time, sorry. I said my bedtime prayers last night. Deacon Dennis? You sure? Honest? Two hands. Who did not say their bedtime prayers last night? Any children not say their bedtime prayers? I've got a question to ask in that regard. Who took care of the world while you were sleeping? Did Mom and Dad do it? Did Batman do it? Took care of the bad guys? Who took care of the world while we were sleeping? I think it's an important question. Did you? Were you the one? God took care of the world while you were sleeping? Another question, what brought you from last night to this morning? Maybe it came quicker than you wanted. Your mom coming in and saying, it's time to get up for church. The alarm clock going off, it can't be time to get up. Maybe we missed the daylight savings. Maybe we were supposed to jump forward another one this weekend. How did you get from last night to this morning? Anybody? I know it's a deep philosophical question, but how did you do it? Did you all stop breathing last night? Did your heart stop beating last night? When we go to bed, when we lay ourselves down to sleep, parents, when you tuck your children in and hopefully say a prayer and a blessing over them as they venture off into the land of dreams and the land of nod, I hope we realize that we make an act of faith. For one, we don't know if we're going to wake up. Some people, in fact, go to sleep and they never wake up. It's a reality. I don't bring that up to terrify you, but to remind us all that we are fragile as human beings. And when we go to bed, when we lay ourselves down to rest, we make a sort of act of faith, and we entrust ourselves, thank you in the front row, Sebastian, we entrust ourselves to the care and the love and the concern of God. And we make an act of faith to say, God's going to care for the world. He's going to care for me and my family. I'm going to go to bed. That might sound a little reminiscent of what good Pope John the 23rd, now St. John the 23rd, at the end of a long day of service in the Vatican, he poured himself out to guide and lead and teach. As Pope, at the end of a full day, he'd say, Lord, it's your church. I'm going to bed. And he could sleep soundly because he entrusted his soul and the care of the world and the church to the Lord. So as I ask those two questions, when we sleep, who cares for the world? And how did I get from yesterday to today? Through sleep. The fact that my heart kept beating, my breath kept working. I know some of you have those little CPAP machines. My father has had a CPAP machine for some years, and my mother calls him my little alien because he's got the little tube coming out. He's got all the little apparatus that keeps his mouth shut so that he can breathe. And what a beautiful miracle it is to be able to breathe all the night long. Now let's go back one more time. Who did not say their bedtime prayers last night? Again, not to shame you, but who didn't say them? Wasn't that kind of presumptuous? Wasn't that kind of presumptuous to say, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to hopefully sleep well and raise up refreshed tomorrow. But I would suggest that if we do not acknowledge in those precious moments before we rest, that we as human beings are precious and fragile. Our existence comes as a gift, and sleep, yes, comes as a gift, but also an awareness that at the end of our lives, and in this way, sleep is a little death. Sleep is a little experience to remember that there will come a time where I will meet the Lord, and that each time we go to rest, there is a moment where we come before the Lord, even in our heart of hearts, and we say, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, I ask for your forgiveness, and I entrust myself to you with complete surrender. We heard about the first reading, those who fear the Lord, there will arise for them the Sun of Justice with its healing rays. So often we go to sleep assuming, presuming that the sun will rise again. And in a beautiful way, it did again today. What a beautiful gift, this November sunshine. Day after day, we've been blessed with it here recently. But I would suggest that the sunshine that meets us today perhaps came through the windows this morning and fell across our faces. We were aware that the Lord is not done with us. He wasn't ready to take us home last night, but he's still getting us ready for that final meeting, that final encounter. Remember that nursery rhyme? I met a woman last night after Mass. She said, I grew up a German Lutheran and we prayed it every night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. There's another verse that says, His love to guard me through the night and wake me in the morning's light. What a beautiful reminder that with each passing night and with each rising sun for a new day, we are so fragile. We ourselves, in many ways, are so utterly dependent upon God that he has more for us today. Yes, as Sebastian said in the front row, he cared for us and he took care of the world all the night long. He managed to do it without us, unless you happen to be one of those that works an overnight shift. He used your help as well. But when we sleep, we repose our will in God's will and we say, I can't do anything more. I've done what I can today. And I failed in various ways. I've done certain things I ought not have done. I should have done certain things that I left undone. But I'm entrusting myself and my soul to God so that in the next day, in the new day, he will raise me up to serve him and grow in his love. Why am I fixating on prayers before bed? I think it's because within reach of each of us is a daily recognition with every passing day and every coming night. You've got a night ahead of you tonight. And I hope and I pray that you'll take a moment to turn to the Lord and entrust yourselves to him, to make a brief review of the day, an examination of your conscience, asking the question, have I tried to live today as a true child of God at work, at home, at school, among my family and my friends? And then the great question, am I ready to meet the Lord? Am I ready for the end of the world and the end of my life? I would suggest that one of the great ways that we prepare to sleep well and to let go of all anxiety that would rob us of the ability to sleep is by entrusting ourselves, our souls, our families, our loved ones, and our nations to God so that he can care for us all the night long. There are right things to be afraid of. And as we're proposing this great theme in these weeks, these final weeks of the church's year, I am not afraid. The invitation that is made is to say, what are the things that I should truly fear? I'm not here to strike fear into the hearts of those who are listening, but I am here to remind you and remind myself that there are things that we naturally, especially when we're little, learn to fear. We love the water, right? We love a pool. We love an ocean. We love a sea. We love the lakes. Unfortunately, those lakes are getting pretty chill, and I don't think there's much swimming left in the season here in November. But we realize as well, as beautiful and as precious and as tranquil as the water can be, we know that both with the storm and if we're unable to swim, that water itself can be very dangerous. And so rightly, we're afraid. There's a natural fear that we have. Anytime you've seen a storm come up on the ocean, the hurricanes of this past year, We love mountains. We love how picturesque they are. We love them from a distance, but perhaps we've known if we've been skiing in them ever, or if we've been aware of the power and force of an avalanche, that we are rightly afraid of the power and the force of gravity. If we've ever been on the edge of a precipice, maybe the Grand Canyon, the edge of a cliff, we've realized that gravity is powerful. We've realized a little pebble falling to the ground has tremendous force as it falls, and we stand back just an extra step to be aware of how much that force of gravity is pulling, how much that force of gravity could pull us down. We love fire. We're fascinated here in the fall, and we'll light fires throughout the winter to stay warm. Deacon Dennis is preparing for the Fire for Discipleship on December 14th. We love fire, but we also realize once or twice or three times when we've gotten burned that fire is dangerous. It's powerful, and we learn when we're young to be aware of that power. We love fast cars, the velocity of cars flying down the road, but we realize when we step a little bit too close to the edge of the sidewalk and we feel the car or the bus whiz by, and we say, wow, I need to be afraid of that. My brothers and sisters, there are right things to be afraid of, and fearing those things rightly keeps us alive. I don't think many of us would have made it into adulthood if we wouldn't have cultivated a sense of fear of certain things that could get us very much into trouble. And I would like to propose that the fear of God, the right fear of God, the reverence for God, the awareness of His power, His wisdom, His goodness, and His might, especially in the moments right before we go to bed, is the greatest fear that we could ever cultivate in our lives. Because if we are aware that through reverence of God, through the great gift that God has given us in the day that has passed, and through our hope that He will give us another day tomorrow, because whoever goes to bed and says, all the loose ends of my lives are tied up, all that I hope to accomplish has been done, I don't think anybody ever throughout the history of the world has ever gone to bed like that. But I believe that if we make an act of faith in our final moments of the waking day, and if we entrust ourselves with a simple prayer, a bedtime rhyme, a beautiful bedtime prayer of entrustment of our souls and our lives to the Lord, and if we make our act of faith that He will raise us up again tomorrow, there will be a beautiful thing that begins to happen in our lives. Not to say that life does not matter, but it will all become in its right perspective. There was a time when we didn't exist. But guess what? There will never be a time for as long as God is where we will not exist in the future. That's what it means to have an immortal soul. And as Jesus, looking around at the beautiful temple adorned with the costly stones and votive offerings, He pointed around and said, everything here, everything in this material world, in this visible world, what we consider most real, most substantial, what we can feel and taste and touch and smell and hear, those things are transitory and passing and temporary. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the one thing that will remain is the spiritual world. And on the last day, our bodies shall be raised up again in glory. That is our hope and that is our prayer. As Jesus reminded them of the unthinkable reality, that the glory of the temple would one day be shattered to dust. And it was. In the year 70 AD, the temple was laid waste. And the Wailing Wall that remains to this day was not part of the temple. In fact, it was the lower foundations of those walls, that stone. And so in an unbelievable way, the pride and the glory and the beauty of Israel that Jesus was pointing around and saying, all that you see here, the day will come when it will not be left. But you will be left, my brothers and sisters, and I will be left. Along with everything else in the world, the temple was destroyed. The seven wonders of the ancient world, last time I checked, they're all gone. But human lives, yours and mine, the lives of the unborn, the lives of those whose lives were cut short through tragedy or violence, in so many ways we are called to remember each time we lay ourselves down to rest, each time we tuck our children in for bed, to remember that we surrender ourselves into His hands. We need to learn that the bedtime prayer is one of the most profound opportunities of each day to say that, yes, life is precious, but life will end, but the Lord is preparing me to meet Him face to face. I hope that we can say, as we lay ourselves down to rest tonight, I am not afraid because we have the light of the world as this dawn broke today and lit up the darkness, we have a hope that we await, the dawn from on high that will break upon the world in the returning of Jesus Christ from heaven to save us. And that light, as Zechariah said, will shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and it will guide our feet into the way of peace. That is the Son of Justice. He is the one in whom we put our hope and our faith. As we lay ourselves down to rest tonight, perhaps you've fallen asleep, drifted away, even for a moment here this morning in contemplation of your pillow. But I would suggest that tonight we have one new opportunity to surrender ourselves into the hands of God. And perhaps we can use a psalm like Psalm 31. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock and my stronghold. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is you who will redeem me, Lord. You have seen my affliction and taken heed of my soul's distress. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but set my feet at large. Lord, hear our prayer today. Hear our bedtime prayers. Teach us to prepare each and every day as a day closer to meeting you in your return in glory. Lord, we pray and we trust and we hope. Teach us to not be afraid because you are coming to save us. Amen.